You can flip the fact that you have nothing going for you with you have nothing to lose. And that means that you can take lots of risks very quickly and end up in the exact same position you are, which is nothing. And so if you eliminate downside, it should decrease your action threshold, meaning you should be able to do more things faster rather than do fewer things because you don't have a great life or things going for you. And so I think if people flip that, a lot more people would take action because they actually realize the advantage of their position. They have nothing objectively to lose. And so everything that they feel like they have to lose is purely made up in their mind. It's stories they tell themselves about what other people are going to think about them. Because people say it's society, it's other people. It's like, it's usually one or two voices. And if you can get really specific on whose voice it is, then you can name it. And then like, I think I'm a big believer in like shame only exists in the shadows, which is like, once you put it in the light, you look at it and you're like, my mom? That was really it. Like when I really think about it, it's because it's not even just my mom. It's my mom in this circumstance. When I come back home for Thanksgiving, I just am so afraid of the comment that she's going to make. It's like, well, what if we confront that? Okay, your mom, you sit down at Thanksgiving dinner and you haven't made money yet and you quit your job. Now what? Is that better than you spending the next 60 years hating her or resenting her for the fact that she held you back?
If we think about success in terms of layers, like foundations, right? The base level, like when you're digging the building where you put the hole and you pour the concrete in, the base of the entire thing is, who is in power? Who is source? Because if it's anything but you in that base layer, all of the other things on top of them will topple down. It's a foundation of sand otherwise. You can't build on top of blaming other people. There's nothing that stands on it. At the very beginning, you have to accept that, which is the first two words, my fault, my responsibility, all me, I am source. And then once you can accept that one thing, and what's crazy is that that one foundation is where 90% of people literally aren't. They're not there. They can't do it. The reason my girlfriend left me is because of this, not me. The reason I lost my job is because my employer was a dick. My boss sucked, whatever, the economy. But it never serves you. Like, give me one instance, one example. This is to anyone who's listening to this. One example of when you blame something else and it made you better. One, you can't find it because it's fundamentally not true. First, it's your fault. Second, spend less than you make. Third, take all of the excess and spend it on making more. Take the money you make, live on nothing, and the hard part is just swallowing the pride for the fact that in the short term, everyone's going to be right when they say that you're amounting to nothing. And that's the tough part. That's the glass that you have to swallow, that you have to pull towards you. And there's just no other way.
The higher up in business you get, the more attractive the opportunities that you have to learn to say no to. That's why having like some of the soft stuff of like, this is the vision, this is what we're trying to do, and there's 100 other things I could do, but each of the cost of those things is the one thing that matters most. If we're looking at opportunities, that's why like risk-adjusted return is one of the things that a lot of investors look at, which is like, is there a way that I can appropriately adjust this risk to normalize different opportunities? And I think that that single skill set is one of, if not the most important skill sets as an entrepreneur, because fundamentally it's betting. Like that's what we're doing. We're making bets. Every day we bet with our time, we bet with our money. With the limited constraints we have or limited resources we have against unlimited opportunities. When we're organizing opportunities that we're going to pursue with a business, we look at what are the ones that we have the absolute highest likelihood of success, that we need no new skills and no new effort. If we can do that, or the least amount of new effort and no new skills, that would be the first thing we're going to do. And then once we take off all the ones that take basically no effort and no extra skills, we're like, okay, which ones take more effort and still no skills? And then once we do that, then we're like, okay, now we can start learning a new skill. And of the different skills that we could learn, which of these is going to give us the highest leverage, as in most output for the least amount of input? And that's pretty much how we tick down which of these opportunities we want to pursue, because those have the lowest likelihood of not happening. I think that the investor frame is simply people who have been scored and quantified on their ability to make decisions. And so I think that we can learn a ton from how investors make decisions overall. It's like why Ray Dalio's book, Principles, became like a bestseller, even though 99.9% of people who are reading the book aren't even investors, or definitely not investors at his level. But the principles of good decision making are just quantified, and we have a scoreboard for these guys being excellent decision makers. Whereas most other people, you don't have a real scoreboard, so we can't tell how valid is their advice. And I think that's what makes taking advice from really world-class investors who've been doing it for decades as a great source of information, because we can validate that they have a stack of undeniable proof that they are who they say they are. If you can't define the inputs and outputs that are going to get you what you want, then there's no way to start, right? Because you don't know what you're supposed to do. So you have to define it down to like the most basic first action. So it's like, if I want to start creating content, then it means I have to post something. If it means I have to start doing cold, I always think in terms of business because that's what I'm in. But like, I'm either doing a cold reach out, I'm doing a cold call, cold email, cold DM, whatever that is. I have to make a piece of content. I have to post it. I have to make a podcast. I have to make a YouTube video. I have to make a short, whatever that is, make a blog post. Now, once you know what that input output is, the next one is, why aren't you doing it? Right? And so I think a lot of people are looking for something that is very hard to find. And then they attribute their lack of success or lack of action because they don't have passion or motivation, right? And I was the same way. And then I got my job, so out of college, and I would read all the self-help books. I read like every night, that's all I did. I just read all these self-help books, and I found one of them that said, there are people who are wantrepreneurs and entrepreneurs. And I remember hearing that word wantrepreneur, but what if they're right? I am a wantrepreneur. I'm not an entrepreneur. I want to be one and I'm not. And from that point, it took me 6 months to quit my job to actually decide to do the entrepreneurial thing. And the thing, there are many things that contributed to me being able to leave. And I think a lot of it's not like people are looking for one thing. It might be a big bag of whys, a lot of them, right? That add up together to be above your action threshold. And I think in the early days, people are looking for the big carrot. They want the big vision. They want the big passion. But they don't have it. But I'll give you the first rule of entrepreneurship that I've learned, which is use what you have. And a lot more people have pain. A lot more people have anger. A lot more people have shame. And if you can use that as your gas in the beginning, you'll eventually get to a point where you can get out of that loop and then find something that you are really passionate about. But if you can't tie your shoes, you can't lift the weight, you can't send the DM, then you have to start with whatever you have. And so for me, it was hatred of my current existence. I hated being a entrepreneur. I hated being a wannabe. I hated being one of those people who like talked about all the things they were going to do and didn't do anything. I hated living the life that my dad wanted me to live. I was his bitch. That's what it was. I was his bitch. I was living his dreams out, not mine. And that was, you know, led to that other tweet, which was, sometimes your parents' dreams have to die in order for yours to live. To get to the person who's like, how do I find my thing? I'm a big fan of being directionally correct rather than absolutely correct. And so I think what happens is most people are trying to find the perfect answer when they have no perspective from which to make.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
Good judgment. They're trying to find the perfect thing to do when they haven't done anything. So how would you have perspective to make a judgment? Like, if you try a lot of things in the beginning, which you have to know what your inputs outputs are, decrease your action threshold enough with either a cheese or a cat, whatever you need. Most people have more cats than they have cheese in the beginning. So use the cat to start running towards something. And the thing is the rat, it's so simple. It's like there's cheese here. But what you really just need to know is that there's cheese out there. And there's a cat behind me for sure. And so if I just go anywhere away from the cat, I will have a higher likelihood of getting closer to the cheese. Not that I will find it, but I will get closer to it.
A lot of people watch YouTube and the internet for complex money-making skills, and they haven't even mastered showing up on time. And so it's like they want to go straight to calculus, but they don't know how to do simple addition. But the thing is that like simple addition is foundational to that. And none of the other stuff will matter unless you can do the basics. But the basics doesn't make them less important. Usually they're the foundation of building, which make them arguably more important. They just are simpler to understand, but not simpler to do. And I think that's the big disconnect a lot of people have, is that they think they, because they understand something conceptually, that they feel like they have already mastered the skill, which are two very different things. Like I think it's an old Zig Ziglar saying. He said, you can either be right or you can be rich. And I mean, it's simple, but this is what he was getting at, is that you can say, you know what? You are right. Your dad kicked the shit out of your whole life and you don't have any confidence because he told you you're a piece of shit every day. You're right. But in order to be rich, you need to let that go. Because every day you say that I'm not successful because of this, it means because this now owns you. And so one of the things that happens when you're broke is that you bet on stuff and then it doesn't work and people feel like they're back at zero, but you're not back at zero. You're at where you were plus one experience, plus two experiences, plus three experiences, plus four experiences. But when you have plus 18 experiences, all of a sudden, boop, you level up one. You get experience points. There's a reason in video games called experience points. So you didn't trade it for nothing. You got an experience point. And with enough experience points, you get to the next level. So the wealthiest people I know only think about skills. They think about what can I learn and then what can this skill get me. And so they will always take any money they can to buy more skills. And in the beginning, you have to buy all the skills yourself. Once you have enough skills that you can generate an excess of income, you can start buying other people's lives. And what I mean by that is, like, everything comes down to buying time. And so at some point, you're 10 years into your career and you have a handful of skills, but you can buy someone else's 10 years of skills by just paying them to do something too. So you don't have to learn all those things. And so you do need to get good at stuff, and then eventually you generalize to being good at people. And that's pretty much always the path for everyone. A lot of people who want to make money don't understand how money is made. And so it's made by getting it from someone else, and they have to give it to you voluntarily or it's theft. And so, assuming you don't want to steal, then you have to give something to someone else first. And then by doing that, they give you money in exchange, which is why I love capitalism. It's a voluntary exchange between two parties. And both parties say thank you at the end because both parties think they're better off from the trade. And so the idea is, what you want to be able to do is find something valuable to trade. You can sell stuff at a margin, and a part of that margin is going to be the convenience that you deliver them. And either you're selling stuff that someone else manufactures, or you create your own stuff. Now, if you're starting out, you're probably going to sell someone else's stuff. And I do think, and I mean, I'm saying this right now, I do love the concept that the first thing you sell is not the last thing you're going to sell. And so learning to sell in and of itself, the best way to learn to sell is sell something. And that's why referral programs, ambassador programs, affiliate programs for different types of businesses, almost every business I've ever owned has an affiliate program. It's great to enroll in those. I'm not even gonna say any of the names of the companies that we have, because I want you, like, it's not about that. I want you to, if you can just, because then you only have to figure out one skill. Like, if I just sell someone, if I just promote, I get paid, cool. And I can just do it over and over again. Now, over time, you're like, man, I wanna make more of the nut. Cool, then you eat up more of the responsibility. So you can either sell stuff, or you can sell skills. You can sell outcomes. Learn something, get good at it, have evidence that you are good at the thing, and then people ask you for help on that thing. Like, level one is that you have to understand that it's my fault. Level two is that you have to use what you have, not what you wish you had, to get to where you want to go. And where you want to go isn't 100 steps forward, it's just the next step. And I think Tony Robbins says this. He says, change happens when the pain of staying the same, sorry, when the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same. And so if you're comfortable in staying the same, the point is to make yourself more in pain to get yourself to move. And so whatever you have to do to get yourself there, for me, the idea that a girl that I would want to be with would be like, I just don't think he's ambitious enough. I don't think he's successful enough. Like, that, those ideas killed me. And so I never wanted to be denied entry to somewhere because I didn't have these things. Now, do I believe that people should be denied entry? No, but I also realize that's the way the world is. And so I think you can balance both beliefs. Like, I'd love things to be different, but I accept the fact that they're not. If everyone around you has a life you don't want, then don't listen to any of their advice. Like, and hopefully you're listening to this and you're watching, if there's some element of my life or whatever that you find awesome, cool, then maybe some element of what I can share is helpful for you. But you have to put blinders on, because there is a period of time where you, and I mean, I've said this, but you're not going to be successful enough for the next tier of friends, but you're too different from the friends that you used to have. And so that middle path is very lonely. But the good thing about loneliness is you've got time, and right now time's what you need, because you got to learn stuff. You got to get the skills so you can start trading that for more and more money, and then you can take the money and trade that for more money. But in the beginning, you just have time, and that's what you have to spend. And so if you are broke, or you are poor, and wish to no longer be broken poor, the first is owning the fact that everything that has to do with your life is your fault. And a lot of people will reject that. And you're right, stay poor. You're totally right, you'll never be successful. You're totally right, I believe you. The next step is being willing to use what you have rather than what you think you should have, or what you wish you had. the circumstances, the connections, the money, whatever. The passion, the purpose, the meaning behind the work. You can wish for all that stuff, but you don't have it, so you have to use what you have, which could be anger, could be shame, could be pain, whatever. And then, as soon as you start taking action, everyone around you will collapse and try to pull you down. And so the only way to protect yourself against that is to increase your own approval of self and decrease how much their opinion of you matters, which means that you have to be proud of you for taking the step and actively look at their lives and think, do I want what they have? If the answer is no, then do not listen to what they say. And then when you do that, you keep walking, you keep taking steps, no matter how painful it is, and you never stop. And if you do that, you will get there.